There must be something about circles that invite people to have conversation. Or maybe it's just the energy that's moving forward as we gather in Christ's name today. Either way, welcome. It is good to have you all gathering together in this way, and it is very good to have Faith Evans with us this morning as we begin our chapel service. She will be leading it, and who better to introduce her than someone who knows her well, or at least is in study of her.
Good morning. Well, it is a great pleasure, and with great pleasure, and just a little fanfare, that I get to introduce Faith Evans to you all. Some people know her, know Faith, as a graduate of Pfeiffer College, where she got a Bachelor's of Science in Sports Medicine. Other people know her as a graduate of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., where she received the Master's of Divinity with a focus in urban ministry. I met her as the founder and director of Building Bridges Youth Ministry in Washington, D.C., where she worked with youth from the suburbs and the inner city to work towards racial and economic reconciliation. Many people in the Mennonite Church were first introduced to her as an ordained person in the Virginia Mennonite Conference, where she served in Washington, D.C. at Washington Community Fellowship as the associate pastor for youth. Today, many folks in the EMU community know Faith as the director and founder of Fitness with Faith, a for-profit ministry that promotes wellness and hope to all God's people through fitness and exercise. And we could go on talking about all the ways that that people know Faith. Many people are happy to call her a friend. And I know that Faith wears that knowledge from other people well, but I know her well enough to know that what she would most want to be known as is a daughter of God, as a mother to Solomon, as my wife. And as my wife, knowing her in the way that I do, as my wife, my closest friend, and the woman who baptized me, I trust that this morning what she has to share with you will be a blessing and will be an inspiration.
And the energy for this chapel has been put together by Faith, so let us enter in. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise.
Be thankful unto him, and bless him.
For the Lord is good.
His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
The scripture reading is from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well.
Good morning. So good to be here with you today. This morning, we're going to be considering the connection between our physical body and our faith. To practice that right now, I'd like to invite you to be comfortable in your own skin, to relax your body, As we go about this morning, I want to invite you to move around the room as you feel comfortable or not. And I would encourage you right now to close your eyes and to become aware of your physical body. Be mindful of your physical body. How is your body feeling this morning? Where are you feeling tight? Where are you carrying your stress? Where in your physical body do you carry and hold your sadness? Where are you feeling strong? Where do you feel weak and tired? Yours is the physical body that God wonderfully and fearfully made. Yours is the body that God loves. As you gently open your eyes, I invite you this morning as we continue in worship to bring your whole body to God, to bring your whole body into your worship experience. And as you feel comfortable, I would invite you to stand and join me in a body prayer as we offer our entire being, body included, to God. And this body prayer is a paraphrase of Psalm 139, which Heather read. There are 10 phrases, and each phrase has a posture. And I would invite you to mimic the posture that you see me do, or choose another posture that feels more natural to what your body wants to do. And then after we assume the posture, we'll say the phrase, and I would invite you to repeat after me as we pray with our bodies together. And again, I would invite you to come to the center of the room or just find the space that you need, at least to draw your arms out to the side so that there is room enough to engage your body in prayer. Let us begin. O Lord, you know when I am happy. You know when I am sad. You know the path that I choose. And where that path leads. Your thoughts are beyond my reach.
Your thoughts are beyond my reach.
Your depth beyond all thoughts.
Your depth beyond all thoughts.
When I open my eyes, you are there.
When I open my eyes, you are there.
When I look inward, you are there. Thank you for your wonderful gifts.
Thank you for your wonderful gifts.
Because of you, I am a wonder.
Because of you, I am a wonder.
Amen. About 10 years ago, I was serving as a youth pastor in Washington, D.C. And the youth were participating in a summer camp that we called Urban Hands. It was a summer service camp. During the day, the youth would engage in the community and serve the community in various ways. At night, we would gather together and the youth would hear talks about loving God and loving people, and then we would all sleep at the church at night. It was a wonderful and very long week, especially for the adults. When Friday morning came, the final talk encouraged the youth to now go out into their communities, showing God's love by loving other people. During that talk, I reflected on my life and my ministry and the countless ways that I had heard that message and lived it out. You see, I'm the daughter of a United Methodist pastor, and I'd grown up in the church. From the time I can remember, I've heard sermons and talks about loving God and loving people. I experienced my call into the ministry while in the Dominican Republic on a missions trip, seeking to serve and love God's people. I studied urban ministry in seminary and for 5 years lived in an intentional Christian community in an at-risk, dangerous neighborhood in Washington, D.C., so that I could love God's people, especially those who were struggling and suffering. I became a youth pastor because I wanted to show these youth God's love. I was loving the least of these, taking up my cross and denying myself. My entire purpose in ministry was to show God's love to others. So I was listening to that talk on that Friday morning, feeling pretty good. I was doing what this pastor was talking about, and I was even modeling it to the youth that I was serving. When the talk ended and camp was over, David and I took a few of the girls out to lunch. And over the years, I had spent quite a lot of time with these two girls. I had mentored them, I had taken them to activities, picked them up from school, taken them to school, helped their families, listened to their struggles for endless hours, doing all that I could to walk with them and love them. I wanted to follow up on the talk by asking them about it and encouraging them to go out into their communities to love others. So over lunch, as a way to get the conversation going, I asked a question that I already knew the answer to. Have you ever done that? Just to make your point. I confidently asked one of the teenagers, "Do you feel loved by me?" There was a long silence across the table. I felt a little anxious, and I asked again, "Do you feel loved by me?" It was very quiet. She sat back a bit in her chair and lowered her head and quietly said, "No." No? After all I had done for her, she wasn't experiencing the love that I had tried to give her day in and day out for years. How could she answer this way? Well, there are probably many answers to this question, many reasons she responded to me the way she did. Some I will never know, but this is what I do know. Her honesty gave me a great gift. It prompted me to reflect on myself and my ministry. You see, if I had ordered my entire life around doing things to show God's love to God's people, and one of those that I felt called most to love wasn't experiencing that love, well, where was the disconnect? Was it all her and her inability to receive love because of her issues? I had a sense it wasn't just that. I had a sense that there was something going on with me, something missing that I needed to discover in order to love people the way I so desperately longed to. As I look back, I am so grateful for the student's honesty, as it was one of the key experiences that started me on the journey toward greater self-awareness. And it has been this self-awareness that has transformed me from the inside out and made possible a lifestyle of balance, health, and wellness. We all know the scripture that Heather read. It is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'd now like to invite Les and Carmen to come forward as we reflect more on that scripture.
I invite you into this time of entering into this text, Luke 10:27. As we engage this time of Lectio Divina, a time of praying and listening with the ears of our hearts. So I invite you to listen, to pray, to know, and to be known.
We will be reading this same text from a variety of translations, beginning with the NIV. Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself."
And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself."
Jesus answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself."
Jesus answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself."
Jesus said, "That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself."
Jesus answered, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord Yahweh your God from all your heart, and from all your soul, and from all your strength, and from all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself."
Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself."
Up until that exchange that I had with that student. I had only focused on love God and love neighbor. I hadn't given much thought to loving myself. If anything, loving myself seemed selfish, especially in the midst of all the needs in my community and in the world. But as the years unfolded, my eyes began to be opened to that scripture in a new way. Perhaps Jesus was telling us the proper order of things when he recited this commandment. Jesus said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. What if loving others was directly related to loving myself? What if I could only love others as well as I love myself? What if loving self was a prerequisite to loving others well? From that point on, my eyes began to look at this greatest commandment with new eyes. I began to discover how loving God, others, and self were connected and were meant to work together in a way that was life-giving to all. I began to understand that when we fail to nurture ourselves and take care of ourselves spiritually, emotionally, and physically, our ministries are compromised. When we are too busy to tend to our malnourished souls, too blind to see our unmet needs, too much in denial about the unhealthiness of our physical bodies, our ministries suffer. We interact with other people in unhealthy ways, and our capacity to love others freely is limited. I believe that this is what was going on with me 10 years ago, and this student thankfully picked up on it. I often think about the directions we get from the airline attendants on the airplane. They tell us that if the airplane starts to go down and we start to lose pressure and the oxygen masks fall, especially those of us with young children, what are we to do? We are told to put the mask on ourselves first and then put the mask on our child. Not because we're being self-centered and selfish, but because we need to be alive and awake to help the one next to us. My friends, loving yourself is not selfish. It is part of the greatest commandment, and it is what makes loving others well possible. So how do we love ourselves as people of faith, as disciples of Jesus? What does this look like? Well, there are many things I could mention, but for this morning, I would like us to consider that taking care of our physical body is part of loving ourselves. Specifically, I would like us to consider exercise as part of taking care of ourselves. Now, as a personal trainer and group fitness instructor, I talk about exercise a lot. And I often see the looks on your faces when I talk about this. It's not the most inviting topic, especially for people who feel like they're not doing what they know they should do. Often people feel guilty. I am here this morning as a fitness professional to speak a word of grace to you and to encourage you. You are not alone in your struggle. If you fail to follow through with your exercise program, if you don't exercise at all, you are not alone. 74% of Americans fail to meet the requirements for adequate physical activity. You are not alone. This is a struggle for many. There are some very good reasons why this is true, that 74% of Americans fail to meet that requirement. And over the years, I've spent much time with clergy and people in ministry asking them about this. And I hear the same thing over and over again. Faith, I'm just too busy. The needs in my congregation, in my workplace, are too great. The causes are all good. there's just no time to exercise? I understand this well. Even though my undergraduate degree is in sports medicine, and even though I worked in the fitness industry, when I went into the ministry, I found ministry to be the most perfect excuse to ignore my physical health and to stop exercising. I was working with inner city youth. The stakes were high. The time was gone. There were more important things to do than exercise. It did seem selfish to me. This mindset, however, led to 10 years of unhealthy lifestyle choices, very little to no boundaries around my work and ministry life, a considerable amount of weight gain, and eventually burnout. I left the ministry. I was burned out. Now, don't get me wrong, there were times within that 10-year season that I tried to prioritize my health. I tried to exercise, and I would do good for a little while, and then it would stop. It wouldn't last. Can anybody relate to me in this room? It wasn't until about 6 years ago, when I was approximately 50 pounds heavier than I am today, that things began to change. I knew that I wasn't living the life that God had called me to live. I looked in the mirror one day and I thought to myself, "Who are you? Where did you go?" It was then that I very slowly began to make connections between my physical body and my faith. I consider the scripture from 1 Corinthians that says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." What if taking care of my body was a way to honor God? I consider that my body was created by God and that all of God's creations are good and worth taking care of. I went out of my way to try to take care of the earth, God's creation. Why wouldn't I go out of my way to take care of this creation that God made and that God said is good? And then I finally thought about that part in the greatest commandment, to love myself. What if prioritizing my physical health through exercise was a way to do this? It was when I made these connections that exercise started to become part of my life, not just something I did at the end of my day or week if I had time. Exercise became part of how I worshiped God. Instead of feeling guilty about taking time to exercise, I exercised as a way to say thank you to God. I became more connected, more integrated. Therefore, exercise was a way for me to fulfill that greatest commandment. I was loving God by being a good steward of God's creation. I was loving myself by doing something that made me healthy and strong, something that gave me more energy, that helped my body to move with more efficiency and vibrancy, all so that I could go out into the world and love God's people from a full and complete place. Not looking to get needs met from out there, but taking care of my own needs, allowing God to fill me up so that I could give love freely. As people of faith, I believe we have a great advantage. When we make connections between our physical body and our faith, we are motivated to exercise because it assists us in fulfilling this greatest commandment. When you exercise, you're saying thank you to God for this good creation. You're being a good steward of God's beautiful work. When you exercise, you're loving yourself because you're making your health and wellness a priority. You're decreasing your risk of heart attack and stroke. You're lowering your blood pressure and your cholesterol. You're decreasing your body fat, increasing your muscle mass. You're lowering your chances of getting diabetes and cancer. You're increasing your quality of life so that you can go out into the world and love the world. So that you can be the person that God is calling you to be in the world. You and I, we have the opportunity to model for other people of faith how to love self by setting boundaries that help you take the time to care for your heart and your soul, your emotions, and your physical body. Acts 17:28 reminds us that it is in God that we live and move and have our being. All movements, even the ones that come with exercise, are possible because God has given us a gift of life. This morning, I'd like to ask you if loving yourself includes taking care of your physical body through physical activity and through exercise. If not, I invite you to start small and begin to practice these connections between your body and your soul, your body and your faith. I encourage you to go for a walk. And when you walk, acknowledge God's presence with you. Give thanks for your physical body. Meditate on your body as God's glorious creation. Embrace that truth and let go of all of the negative self-talk that spins around in our head about what we should be. Do what you can and know that any movement is better than no movement. A 10-minute walk in the morning or on your lunch break has the potential to transform your entire day. I encourage you to try it. I also encourage you to practice connecting with your physical body during worship. Practice praying with your body like we did this morning. The Psalms are a great place to start. Hear these words from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. This psalm reveals how integral the body is to our spiritual tradition's way of worship. Here, the psalmist's whole being is in dialogue with God. Here, we are reminded that our bodies are made for worship. When we are mindful of God, present to our physical bodies and living a fully connected and integrated life, we are able to worship God in all things and in all places. And this, my friends, will transform you from the inside out. Amen. I invite us to respond to God this morning with another body prayer. And as you are comfortable, I encourage you to stand. This body prayer is called the Trinity Prayer. We'll go through it three times. And there are four phrases and four postures. We'll repeat them three times. And each posture acknowledges another part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then we reach our arms out to God and acknowledge that we are part of this world. To start, I will pray out loud as we all reach our hands up acknowledging God, and then I'll move us to our arms shaped as the sign of the cross, and then I'll pray as we cross our heart acknowledging the Holy Spirit, and I will pray again as we reach out. We'll go through those postures two more times, and then I would invite you to pray to yourself out loud or in your heart, whatever comes to your mind when you assume these postures. Let us take a deep breath, being aware of our physical bodies, entering our whole being into prayer with God. Let us lift our hands. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you that you are our Creator. Bringing your arms out to the shape of the cross, we acknowledge you, Jesus. We give you thanks for being our Redeemer, our Savior. And crossing our hearts, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you live within us, that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And now would you reach your arms out, acknowledging that we are part of the world in all of its beauty and all of its brokenness. And now let us lift our hands up again, acknowledging God, breathing deeply. Let's acknowledge Jesus the Christ as we reach our arms out to the cross. Holy Spirit, and we are part of this world. Lord God, Jesus, our brother and friend, Holy Spirit, the world that God has created, Amen. May we all go forth now, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And may we do our best to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Go in God's peace. Amen. Amen.